Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists, to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben, and we're bringing you a very special episode that we recorded at the Wisconsin Credit Union League Annual Convention back in May. We were super fortunate to be able to catch up with the keynote speakers for just a few minutes each, learn a little about them and their keynotes.
So what you're about to hear will be all five of those interviews back to back, and then we will be back at the end to close out the show. Welcome to a special episode of Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben, and we have with us a very special guest, a return guest.
Yes.
But a special guest for this special episode, Courtney Arnold from Filene. Courtney, why don't you introduce yourself, tell us who you are, what you do, what it's like being
sure.
at Filene.
Hi. I'm Courtney. I work for Filene Research Institute. It feels like just yesterday that Ben and Sue and I were having this very conversation. but with Filene, I have the honor of working with our emerging talent through our cooperative trust. But really why I'm here today is, today at the Wisconsin Credit Union League Convention, is the other fun work that I get to do with innovation, and that's with the Wisconsin Ideation Local Development Group. So focusing on innovation, problem-solving methodology.
And if you didn't catch it, that acronym is WILD.
WILD.
Sue and I, both past yes. participants, proud participants of the WILD.
Yes, and both WILD people.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Only
very
thing.
On brand.
As human beings, yes.
As we uncovered, this is how we all met each other.
Right.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is beautiful that it's all coming together.
Yeah,
full
awesome.
Circle.
And here we are, right?
Yes.
Yes. Look how far we've come.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yes. So with WILD, the presentations for the groups for the year happen at convention. And how yes. did those go? Tell us about that session.
Yes, it was wonderful. So part of the innovation process is the report out. It's actually a critical piece. It's where we culminate everything that we've learned. And also it teaches a really incredible skill on how to sell your idea to other people. Because at the end of the day, ideas are great, but if people don't buy into them, then they just live in your mind.
Right.
Or on the floor.
Yeah.
And so that was what we were doing today. And I may be biased, but I feel that the groups came up with really implementable solutions, things that can be taken whole or things that can be kind of piecemeal, just depending upon where your credit union's at. And so just really incredible how focused they were on things that are actually top of mind for credit unions, which I think is another really critical skill that this innovation really helps to teach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you set the table well before the presentations, and to your point of them being like implementable, the communication kit one, like whether you're a credit union with a robust, deep marketing team that has communication on lock, mm-hmm. or you're maybe new to it or don't have those resources on your team, like there's at least nuggets from that you could take
yep.
and put in place right away, or take the whole thing and use
exactly.
right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool to see. Sure.
Yeah, and WILD, it's really special in general because it is true innovative collaboration, like partnership innovation. We think about the league coming together, Corporate Central coming together, and they're supporting other credit unions in the state to become more innovative. And so I think that in and of itself is true innovation. And so what we get out of it as a result, what we see on stage, I think is just icing on the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. And like true credit union cooperation,
yes.
all these individual
mm-hmm.
individuals from different credit unions coming together.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely
beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool. So if someone wasn't able to attend that session, maybe what's one thing you'd want them to make sure they knew or went home with?
Ooh, one thing is to check out the recap of the conference. Mm. Check out this podcast, which you must be because you're listening to it right
yeah.
now.
Right.
Awkward thing to say.
Just tell, they're doing a great job so far.
Winning. But also reach out to the league, reach out to me, and I'd be happy to chat with you. You can also go to filene.org/wild. I hope that's right. And you should be able to see a list of those concept documents from this year as well as from last year. And so if you're just really curious and want to get your interest piqued, what does it look like? What are the outcomes? It's a really great way to see what it takes to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to get involved in the WILD initiative for next year?
Yes, please. Email Jennifer Esser at the league or email me. We will likely be getting applications up in the late summer. So be on the lookout for that. But we want as many people to participate as we can have. So if this has ever been something that you've thought about, ever something that you're like, maybe, If it's been a maybe, it's a yes.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that really pushes you in new ways where you think, you know, I'm really good at this skill. And then you learn maybe you're not so good at that skill, but maybe you're really great at something else. But it's just, it's one of those programs that really teaches you about yourself. And then you also get to help your credit union and your members at the same time. So it's like a triple win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know for myself, being more on the creative side, the discipline of the innovation process was really great for me to go through.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. For me, the gut check part of the process is something that like forever sticks with me, especially on the creative side. It's your idea. It's like everything is your baby, you know, so to have that moment to be like, okay, is this actually good or should I pivot or start over, whatever is super important, whether it's we're talking about design or innovating something totally new, whatever it might be. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where people assume, well, I'm not creative, therefore I am in this box, or people are just creative or they're just innovative. They're just born that way. And the reality is that's not true.
Yeah.
You can, people might be born that way also, but they still have to practice the skill. You can still lose things that that come naturally to you. And also you can learn how to be creative through this process, which I think is also just amazing. It's just, it kind of gives you a new lease on life, right? Where you think your whole life you're one way, but then actually you come to find out, oh, wow, I can come up with these, you know, really big ideas. So it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, we are advocates for the program. Really big fans. So here at the Credit Union Convention, what is something, besides your session with the wild folks, what is something awesome that you've experienced this year?
So, okay.
I laugh.
Yeah, get ready. No. So it's funny. I saw Ben and Sue the first moment I walked into the session. I was so excited because I'm like, oh my gosh, thank God, people I know. Because I still have this idea in my head that people, I don't know people because I'm new to the state of Wisconsin, except can I even say that anymore?
Right.
No, it's been 7 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while. And so I tell Ben and Sue, I don't know anyone. And they're like so caring and so kind. I'm like, all right, Courtney, we got you. We're taking you under our wing. And then literally like 12 people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I think for me, it's just the people, the connection. It is really like coming back to a big alumni reunion, which is new for me. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. People.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Courtney, for being with us, spending some time, and for everything you're doing in cooperation with the league and supporting Wild and all that stuff.
Yep.
Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome. I'm Sue with Awesomeology.
And I'm Ben, and we have a very special guest with us, Dr. Christine Whelan. Welcome.
Thanks so much.
Can you tell us your title, your organization, maybe a short overview of what you do, your day-to-day?
Sure. So I am Christine Whelan. I teach at the University of Wisconsin at Madison in the School of Human Ecology. I am known as the happiness professor because I teach classes on happiness and well-being, including one called Consuming Happiness, about how we try to spend our limited resources in keeping with our values to maximize our well-being.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. The happiness professor.
I love it. So this is a person we have been meant to meet.
Yeah. <right?
laughs> So tell us a little bit about your session.
It was really great because I got to kick off this convention on a happy note, really with some upbeat, personal, and purposeful advice about how to spend in keeping with your values. One of the fun things that I always love to talk about is thrift. And, you know, you don't usually have to define thrift for a group of folks at a credit union conference, but I define it a little bit differently because I talk about it not in terms of only saving, but in terms of spending your resources, both your money, your time, your emotional resources, your environmental resources, in a way that not only maximizes your well-being, but that of the social good. And so it's great to speak to a group of people who are so passionate about that and really living it in their day-to-day lives.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so important in the work that we do. And I mean, you hit the nail on the head, like to kick off a convention like this where there's all kinds of learning happening, including, you know, very technical stuff that, you know, contributes to people's back office functions, you know, kind of in the, you know, rigmarole of the day-to-day, to keep something like happiness and purpose top of mind is just so important. So awesome job by the league to set the tone with a, you know, kicking it off like that. So that's great.
It was actually quite fun because I also played my purpose statement pop song. And most speakers, I do not think, have their own pop song. But when you're speaking at 9 a.m. in the morning, it is important to get everybody rocking.
Right.
And we did.
Awesome. Oh, man.
Man, we're going to have to put that, when we put this out in album form,
right,
and we hit this with vinyl, we'll
absolutely
have to
get your
pop song. So you get it on the vinyl, the exclusive vinyl.
So if someone if someone wasn't able to attend your session, what's something that you'd want them to know?
When we think about spending in keeping with our values for thriving, it really is about pro-social behavior. And so often we think about happiness as a me thing, but really we're looking at this as a we. And how can we develop our relationships in a way that brings us joy? How can we spend our money on shared experiences? How can we use our resources of time to do things that, yes, bring us joy, but also bring others joy? So I gave a little example of a parable of a teacher who had students, and she put had all the students write their names on a balloon with a Sharpie pen. So each individual balloon had one student's name on it. They throw the balloons down the hall, and she says, "You have 15 seconds, go find your balloon." And all the students are elbowing each other out of the way. Nobody can find their balloon. Well, then she says, "Okay, stop. Grab the balloon that is nearest you and see whose name is on it, and then give it to them." And in less than 15 seconds, everybody was reunited with their balloon. And she said, "You know, your happiness and your thriving and your well-being are just like this. If you're only looking for your own, it's much harder to find. But when you look around for others and try to help others, that is a really wonderful way to not only help yourself, but to help the larger community." So to speak with credit union folks about that, it was like, you know, telling them a parable of what they are doing on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I was exactly to your point. I was just going to say that sounds like a message custom made for credit union people. Mm-hmm. That people just live and breathe helping people and making lives better. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, even when you don't have to tell them, when you're sort of preaching to the choir, it's affirming to hear that, you know, it's a good life path. It's a good way to reinvigorate people and get them back at their desks on Monday morning feeling excited about their jobs again. Right.
We all need that.
Right. Yeah. And we've been talking about purpose a lot lately, and I don't mean to keep bringing up the people that work behind the scenes, you know, doing the back office things, but, you know, those people in particular, like for them to keep that in mind of how what they're doing is affecting people's happiness, affecting the positive outcomes that credit unions make. I mean, it's a really important part of the job is to take the time to recognize that and appreciate that.
Right, especially when they feel so disconnected from it.
Right, yeah, because they don't get to see the smiling member, you know, but, yeah.
Right, right. Well, it is early. Yours was the first session. But what is something awesome that you have already experienced being part of the league's convention this year?
The people here are just awesome.
Aren't they amazing?
Oh, yeah, totally. So at the end of my talk, so many people came up to me to say how awesome it was. But more than that, they came up to me to tell me the awesome things that they are doing and how they'd like to apply these learnings in their in their work. So a woman from Dane County said that she would like to employ this in Dane County and even in her church community. And another gentleman came to me and said that he works with folks in prisons. And so much of this idea of adding joy into your life in a sort of value-based and conscious way would work really well there. So I feel like I've also gained a community myself.
Sure.
And I got a lot of business cards, but also hopefully a lot of people who are going to follow me on LinkedIn as well. Because on LinkedIn, what I'm going to try to do, this is my commitment to myself, my purpose-based commitment, is to post more as a sort of continuing education after these talks, because I'd like to hear from many of the folks in these credit unions about the way they're using it and offer them some more resources to put it into action.
That is really fantastic, because I think one thing that I've experienced coming to convention is walking away with a million great ideas and then not knowing where to start, what to do, how to, you know, you have a head of steam and it is, and then you have to go back and do your day job.
Yeah, right.
So it's true. Yeah. The important often is subsumed by all the urgent things that we have on our plates. But since a lot of us like to scroll social media, that's what I thought. You know, I just put it on LinkedIn, and then maybe people can get a little dose of this every day.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Dr. Christine Whelan, we appreciate you stopping and talking with us so much. Yeah. You have been an absolute delight.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank
Happy
you.
To be here, and congratulations on such a wonderful convention.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to a special episode of Osmology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben, and we have with us a very special guest, and I'm actually going to let you say your own last name so I don't butcher it. Jason, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Jason Vitek. Thank you so much for having me. I am an author, speaker, world traveler, yoga instructor, and a breathwork specialist, and a lover of credit unions.
Awesome.
Excellent. Yoga enthusiast. We just had Courtney.
We did.
Who is studying to be with Filene, who is studying to be a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, that's was literally just here.
So we have to get you two connected
to talk about yoga.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, like, what's a day look like in your life? I mean, I'm sure one day to the next maybe changes a little bit. What's the typical day to day?
So I have achieved a level of, you'd say, financial success. And so I've achieved financial independence where my day can change from day to day. So I have the opportunity. So I like to say I have a lot of time wealth. And I get to pick and choose, but I do focus a lot on keeping my mind and body healthy and also contributing to my community. And so I do have an online social community, and I can encourage them on experiential and purposeful growth. And so I'm constantly talking about that and reinforcing the message.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. That's the best answer we'll hear all
weekend.
Yes.
So cool. You presented two different sessions.
Yes.
So let's tell us a little bit about each of them. One of them was a TEDx talk.
Yeah, so I was the keynote for the midday session, and it was a TEDx-inspired talk, and it was about being a financial mess and achieving financial success. Mm-hmm. So I always like to share how messy I was with personal finance, and I mean, I made all the financial mistakes, and here I am talking about money. And so what I'd like to tell everyone is, like, hey, I'm here to let go of the shame, the guilt, the embarrassment when it comes to our finances, and that is the first step in order to get us from where we are to where we want to go. So that was the topic. And then further exploring kind of our multidimensionality. So the breakout session was really focused on that, getting people to understand that what makes us are these eight dimensions: the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, occupational, environmental, social, and financial dimensions. And I specifically talk about how money weaves itself in those dimensions and how we can use money as a tool to positively affect them.
That's absolutely fascinating. We have a internal podcast that we do with our team, and I just did an episode of that talking about the six dimensions of wellness. So it sounds like there are maybe two additional ones that I can fill in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So if someone wasn't able to be at either of your sessions, what's one key takeaway, one big thing you'd want people to know?
Well, what I want people to know is that what makes you you isn't just one singular thing. What makes you you isn't just your financial goals or your career aspirations. I want the people to understand what makes them whole are these eight dimensions. Mm-hmm. And often we tend to focus so heavily on our professional achievements and these financial milestones, and we don't focus enough time and effort in our mental, our emotional health, our physical well-being. And so what I hope what people get out of this is their multidimensionality and how we can use our financial resources to strengthen a dimension that might be suffering.
Yeah, interesting. And so, like, a specific challenge with that is, like, the big moment that maybe happens within one of the dimensions, right? Like financial hardship that maybe is brought on by something, or even like physical hardship, right? Like you break your leg, I don't know, whatever. So I didn't hear your presentation, so this isn't a spoiler or anything, and maybe this isn't even what you talked about, but how does one use that whole person, those all eight dimensions, to maybe get you through or beyond the pain and the one that you're feeling? I don't know if I'm asking a question.
It is, and I know what you're getting to. I think what I want people to understand when it comes to these wellness dimensions, that it's that they are interrelated, they're interconnected, they're overlapping. When one dimension is suffering, it has a ripple effect on other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so when we are financially suffering, we tend to think, okay, it's just the financial aspect of it, and we're gonna solve it with maybe more money or paying off debt. Mm. But then that can also affect our mental and emotional well-being. And then if we don't address the mental, emotional well-being, well, that can manifest itself physically. And one of the key things, I focus specifically on strengthening the financial dimension. And those have the components of saving for emergencies, investing for independence, contributing to retirement. When we get those financial basics taken care of, we can then lean into our financial, strong financial health to be able to support. So one of the other takeaways was I wanted people to understand that money can buy happiness when you spend on wellness. Mm. So you can spend your money on improving your mental health, for instance, and sure. The studies show when we increase our knowledge and we gain new information and we educate ourselves, well, that gives our brain a different set of data points and information to process our situation differently. So when we think, oh, I can't get out of my situation, well, when you learn something new, your brain says, wait, there is a way out.
Sure.
And so there are ways that we can use money to support the dimensions.
Yeah, cool.
I think we could talk to you all night long
yeah, right?
about this fascinating. So here's an abrupt switch of tone
yes.
for you.
I'm all for it.
So what is something awesome you've experienced already at convention? Tell us a little bit about your experience.
So the most amazing thing about this convention is the connections with people here in Wisconsin. And I feel like I'm home. I am thousands of miles away from home. I'm from Jersey originally in Florida. And then here I am in convention in Wisconsin. And just meeting some of the most amazing people who are purposeful, intentional, and I think that by far. And those who get the message, they understand the message of financial wellness, and I'm just adding to it. So I think that to me is just remarkable and exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'm pandering when I say Wisconsin Credit Union people.
Special.
The most amazing.
Just the best. Special.
Just the most amazing
people. I'm saying very, very special. And yeah. So I had the opportunity to visit credit unions all across the state. And so I did a tour. I started in Milwaukee, so the southeastern part, and went up to Green Bay and then Wausau. If I'm saying, I'm not from here, so I might be butchering some of
you. You nailed Wausau.
Okay.
No one from Wisconsin nails Wausau.
And then I made my way to the Mississippi Riverside. Yeah. And so I got to meet so many people all across and then meet many credit union folks in this different part. And it's just, it's a wonderful community. Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. Well, it's as simple as that. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the bit of insight. Like Sue said, we could probably talk for another hour or more, but really appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome to the special presentation of Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben. And with us, we have Lee Wetherington, which will give Lee a moment to introduce himself. Tell us who you are, who you're with.
Hi, Ben. Hi. My name is Lee Wetherington. I am with Jack Henry. I am Senior Director of Corporate Strategy, and the functional explanation of that is I'm the generalist. I'm the guy that connects dots between domains of knowledge to figure out not just where we are, but how we got here and what that means extrapolating forward.
Gotcha. What's the day-to-day? What's the day-to-day like? What's that look like?
I eat research and poop insights. That's the most probably diplomatic way of describing what I do day in, day out. We also do our own primary research, which we are debuting here today, our 2024 strategy benchmark survey of CEOs. That survey included about 80 credit union CEOs, about 50 bank CEOs. And we fresh off that analysis and seeing the differences between what those two different groups are prioritizing, what they're spending on technology-wise is really, really interesting. And it certainly intersects with the topic I covered today in terms of generative AI and its impact on credit unions, financial health, and their members going forward.
Yeah, awesome. Well done.
Yes, and you have already teased our next question. Tell us a little bit about your session. You said generative AI. We're very interested in AI.
Yeah, so it's a buzzword. the word AI gets thrown around. It's not defined very well. It points to a lot of different things. There are several different species of AI. There are an almost unlimited number of models. And so the conventional wisdom as it stands doesn't comport with the reality of where things are with AI, AI tooling, data infrastructure, modern tools that a credit union can now bring to bear to make better sense of their members' financial lives and therefore be more relevant in the context of their lives. So I'm here to debunk some of the mythology that we're carrying around from about 16 months ago, because in that interim 16 months, a lot of things have changed. Yeah. We talk about large language models all the time. That's not where the action is right now. It's small language models.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're now performing on par with large language models is astonishing, but it's also really good news for credit unions, because those smaller language models not only perform at par with large language models, but they're easier and cheaper and faster to train and also to secure and contain in terms of their data inputs and their data outputs, which from a regulatory standpoint is really, really important for credit unions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So off script question, generative AI and credit unions, where are we at in your observation for zero being no adoption, 10 being credit unions using it perfectly? Where are we at on that spectrum?
I think we're right at a 2
at
the moment.
Yeah.
If you were to put it on a scale of a 0 to 10, there's some data behind my answer to your question. Again, we had the strategy benchmark.
Yeah.
So you see about 24 to 30% of credit unions are explicitly saying we are prioritizing spend, execution, and implementation of generative AI models in some form or fashion this year and next year in 2025. Most of that is going to be focused on backroom efficiencies, because, by the way, one of the biggest strategic priorities for credit union CEOs this year and next year is improving operational efficiency.
Yeah.
Because we're all still struggling with anemic return on asset ratios. We're still struggling in and around compression on net interest margin. So because of skyrocketing both interest expense and non-interest expense coming off last year, we all rolled into 2024 going, how can we run the credit union faster, cheaper, better? And generative AI is the lowest hanging fruit in terms of how to do that. The only asterisk to that is that regulators are, or I should say, have not yet produced a coherent set of guidance and guardrails for what it is okay to do in terms of a generative AI that directly touches a member.
Sure.
It's fine to do things in the back room.
Right.
Right? Not so clear that it's fine to unleash a statistical model of generative AI raw on a member.
Yeah.
Because unless, you know, generative AI is statistical, meaning you can put the same input in over and over again, get different outputs. Mm. Regulators and examiners don't like that much. So the good news is that it still leaves room, and this is probably the biggest impact that it will have. It still leaves room for generative AI assist of real people at the credit union fielding moments of need from members through the digital channel and the mobile apps.
Yeah.
So that such that you can deliver personal service, literally people helping people, better, faster, and at scale points never before possible because of generative AI assist. And you don't have to wait on the regulators for that, because again, it's mediated by a real live human being that sits in the liability seat if an answer is given that's not kosher or isn't cured or curated in the right way. But yeah, that's the nut of it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you've already given us some key things from your session just in that answer, but if someone wasn't able to be there today, maybe what's one thing you'd want to make sure that they knew or understood?
The advent of generative AI concurrent with the strategic importance of improving operational efficiency has backed our entire movement into getting serious, sober, and smart about data strategy. You can't do any of the things that we just ran through here without a preponderance of data on your own members, The bad news is most credit unions, by the way, most all financial institutions, do not have most of their own account holders' financial data. Why? Mm-hmm. Because of financial fragmentation. Average member has 14 financial apps on her or his phone. Average member has relationships with between 15 and 20 different financial service providers.
Yeah.
So if you think that you have most or all of the financial data on your members, you are delusional at best. You need to reckon with the reality of financial fragmentation. If you want to do and be serious about improving financial health, your first order of business is going to be to lever open banking rails to aggregate back to the credit union using standardized and secured APIs that preponderance of data on your members so that you have the fuller picture of them, their financial lives, and the data backing that up with which to train and tune generative AI models. Otherwise, you're tuning generative AI models with at best 25 to 30% of your members' financial data.
Right.
And if you think that's gonna get you to a defensible recommendation for a next best product or service, you're also delusional.
Yeah.
So this is what I mean by getting serious and sober and ultimately smart about data strategy and looking through that lens.
Yeah, wow.
All right, so final question. Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of smart things to say. But let's go fun.
Just sounds that way.
Just, is that what you're saying? You know what? I mean, I think I'm saying prove
it. It's all sand shoe. I just made everything up.
Prove it, Lee. You're right.
It's all a farce. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you are an absolute delight. What's something awesome you've experienced at the League convention so far? Besides spending time with me.
Right. Outside of this experience with you and them, which is the culminating, most meaningful moment of my entire life, not just the convention.
A lot of people have said that.
I would have to say it was my experience in the shower at the Radisson, where I couldn't figure out exactly how to divert the water from the tub faucet to the shower head. But then I noticed a little red sign glued to the tile on the shower that says, pull for water. And I would never have imagined to pull that particular thing for water to come out of the shower head. So I would say that's the most profound thing. And that to me is a metaphor also of the awakening I think that credit unions need to have about where they are with data so that they can go into this next era of not just generative AI, but data-driven financial services, and more importantly, data-driven people helping people. It's an exciting time to actually be around to see how all of this is going to play out and unfold.
Yeah. We just need to pull for water. We all know that it's there.
Just pull for water. Everybody just remember that.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thanks, Lee, for the time, for all the insight. Holy cow. I think we could definitely spend a bit more time with you. So thanks for the little
thank
bit.
Thank you both. This has been fun.
Yeah, thank cool. you. Welcome back. This is Sue with Awesomeology.
For a very special edition of Awesomeology, right?
Right. That's exactly what I meant to say, Ben. Thank you.
And I'm Ben. And with us, we have a very special guest, our final keynoter, Lisa Schaefer with us. Lisa, introduce yourself.
Well, hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. My name is Lisa Schaefer, and I work with credit unions as well as other professionals as a leadership coach, as a staff development professional, and do a lot of things on member services and helping people kind of see their inner shine, which is strengths, heart, innovation, network, and empowerment.
Oh, my God. Inner Shine was cool enough before I knew it was an acronym.
That's yeah. Who knew?
So what's the day-to-day like for Lisa Schaefer? What are you doing with credit unions most often?
Most often, generally, I'm working with anyone from teller status to member services to senior managers in regards to coaching, helping them kind of look at what's working for them and how they can continue to get 1% better in their areas of professionalism. We focus a lot just on engagement and culture and creating a fun environment for both internal and external members. And just asking questions and trying to find that inner shine for people.
Yeah, love it. Cool.
So tell us a little bit about your, you've already done a session.
Yes.
And then you're going to do the closing keynote. Tell us about your session this afternoon.
Sure. This afternoon, the session is really going to kind of focus on our mindset, and what we continue to tell ourselves will definitely impact our behavior. Every single behavior we do is goal-directed, and it's related to an emotion. And there are two emotions that drive us to motion, which is fear, or avoidance of punishment, or again, joy and happiness, which we've heard from other keynotes. So excited to be able to showcase that, that mindset and the importance of mindset.
Yeah, love that. It's been pretty awesome to see the theme amongst the keynoters, like you said, about, you know, joy, happiness, self-care, some of these important topics. You know, you come to a credit union convention, you may be, and there's plenty of talk of data and AI and the financial side of our business, but I think to lead with these really important topics, starting with the person first, you know, makes all that other stuff happen better, more naturally, more efficiently, all that, right?
Well, we've been talking so much about like physical safety for people. We need to talk about a psychological safety. Sure. And can we bring our whole selves to work? And is it okay for us to be able to make mistakes? And then how do we bounce back? Because our best learning comes from our mistakes. Right. And so again, being able to create that environment where we feel safe to try new things.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So if someone wasn't at either the breakout that you led earlier or won't be at your session this afternoon, what's like one thing you'd want them to know or take away?
One of the biggest things I always tell people is do it afraid. Just try some things. We have to be innovative in the credit unions right now and looking at how we can help people move past some of their own fears and just do it afraid is that key piece.
Yeah. Love it.
Get outside their comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that resonates a lot with like the market, because we're a marketing agency, and so much of what we do, we do with expertise behind us, but also knowing, well, we can't prove what's going to happen. Yeah. So we do have to do, you know, we have to build the plane while we're flying it a little bit.
Exactly.
And not everything that we do works. And like finding the comfort in that can be a challenge, you know.
Well, and some of your best learning is going to come when it doesn't work.
Right.
Because now you're going to say, what do we need to keep doing or stop doing? Because now we've learned something, you know. Yeah. You might have to change things 3 or 4 times. You didn't learn to walk like right away, did you?
Right.
You had to
adapt and, you know, you didn't just get up and running. And, you know, you have to have some of those small successes and one step at a time, but do it afraid.
Yeah. Very good advice. So what is something awesome you have experienced at convention this year?
Just the networking of people. I love the energy that people say collaboration is key. And I think that's what I love about credit unions. It's people helping people and really living that mantra by, hey, how you been, Ben? Or, you know, hey, how you doing, Suzanne? And it's great to, you know, hear people share their stories. Like, this is what we're doing. And have you tried that? And I think that's what makes us all better together.
For sure. Yeah, that cooperation is the secret sauce, you know, that I don't think we give enough credit, even though we know it's there, we see it in practice at things like this, but you know, we gotta keep doing it, do more of it, and celebrate it, you know. It's a big deal.
And I love that it's intentional, you know. There's different activities and things to really be intentional in what we're trying to build in relationships.
And I, you know, as the kids say, and I'm confident kids don't say this, the one thing about convention is the vibe is immaculate.
Yeah, right.
Is
that what kids say?
I'm not sure. I don't have kids. I'll have to find someone to ask them. We'll do some informal research this weekend.
Awesome. Well, Lisa, you've been a treat. Thanks so much for spending some time with us ahead of your session. And I hope the rest of the convention is good for you. Thanks for being here. Yeah,
thanks for having this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, how awesome was that? So grateful to the Wisconsin Credit Union League for giving us the opportunity to speak with 5 of the more amazing humans I've met in my life, right? Like, it was, my experience was that I was just blown away by like the brain power and the heart that these people had. Loved the vibe of all of them and how, you know, obviously big brains with a lot of experience and research experience and data to prove that what they're talking about matters, but also like a ton of heart, you know, in everything that they were talking about, which, you know, just a great message for everybody that was at the convention. And hopefully our listeners take advantage of that too.
Yeah, such great interviews. It was such a whirlwind talking to everybody and trying to take in everything that they had to say. And every time we finished an interview, I wanted them to stay for another hour or more. And hey,
how about that?
Do I have good news, because you are going to get to hear from a lot of these people. I think maybe we have, you've already heard from Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we maybe have all of the rest of them on the schedule yet for this year. So we will get that hour.
Yeah.
Which will
be so great.
So we
can guarantee at least four more amazing episodes.
Right.
Just because of the star power.
And the rest of the episodes are going to be good too.
They're going to be great too. Yeah.
But not amazing.
Yeah.
You got to set the bar just where we need it to be.
Yeah.
Manage your expectations.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think... you know, thinking again, kind of reflecting on the experience, I remember feeling a bit anxious about, you know, because we were there as exhibitors, but then also supporting the league with this, you know, kind of new content at the convention, at least something they haven't done before. And I remember being a bit anxious about like how we're going to bounce back and forth between these things, because those interviews were kind of scheduled in open pockets of time between the exhibit hall being open and things like that. And just getting into podcast mode, you know, and like being a host and asking good questions, even though we, you know, intentionally kept it pretty simple. But every single time I was just so happy with how like I kind of got sucked in, you know, even though like we were recording in one of the main hallways, there were people passing by every time. And I think that just goes to show like how awesome these people are, because it was really easy to like not be distracted by everything else we had going on, all the other people that were around. So lots to look forward to for those full length episodes with them. I can't wait to spend some more time with them.
Yeah, for sure. And then like final thought, hey, shout out to Nick Mulliver for editing these, because you can hardly tell that in some of these cases we are standing in a hallway filled with people.
Yeah, right.
So if you, Nick, if you listen to this, which we'll learn, if you listen.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Shout out to you, buddy. So thank you as always for joining us. Thank you for coming through this special little episode, which is a little bit different. You can always catch up on our other episodes, or you can look forward to the longer episodes with these guests on your favorite podcast app. And you can find them on our blog at exclamationcuso.com/blog.
Thank you for tuning in. Be awesome and see you next time.
The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Thanks to Nick Mulliver for sound production and Kylie Ganther for our cover artwork.
Executive producers are me, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.